Born again. What does that mean? What does that mean? Let's talk about that today. In the book of Titus, chapter 3, you got your Bibles, the Word of God, the sword of the Lord. Let's turn there together. Born again. You've all heard that phrase over and over and over and over. What does it mean? What does that mean? Titus chapter 3, verse 4. I still hear pages turning. I'll give you another little bit. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 says, "But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared." Aren't you thankful that the kindness and the love of God showed up? Amen. I'm telling you, that's a good thing. Because the world's pretty messed up. Our world's pretty messed up. Amen. It is. It's just humanity. We're in a place, and we desperately need the kindness and the love of God. So the kindness and the love of God showed up, not by works of righteousness which we have done. We didn't earn it. We didn't do anything that caused it. God didn't look down and say, "That's just the neatest bunch of people I've ever seen. I'm going to show up." God didn't look down at Chester and say, "Man, that Chester, he's something else. I'm going to show up." And I think Chester's pretty neat, but he's not that neat. And neither am I or you. There's nothing we did that precipitated God coming to the earth to help us out. He was motivated by his own heart, by his own love, to just do it. In fact, the Word of God says, "In that while we were yet sinners, while we were pretty bad, we were all still scuzzballs. We were just failures. And he showed up anyway. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." That's me. It's you. It's the whole world. He died for us. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." The mercy of God. You know what mercy is? Mercy is not receiving what you deserve. We deserve judgment. That's what we deserve. That's what the whole world deserves. God would have been perfectly justified if he had looked at humanity and said, "Man, this is a wreck. This is a failed experiment. Let's just annihilate them all. Do away with it and start over." He'd have been justified in doing that. He really would. But his mercy would never let him do that. His mercy would never let him do that. According to his mercy, he saved us. He saved us. I'm so thankful I'm saved. I'm so thankful Jesus showed up and saved me. Amen. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David an entertainer." For unto you is born this day in the city of David a governor, a politician, a sports athlete. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a savior. That's what we needed. Amen. A savior. He saved us. Listen to this. "Through the washing of regeneration." Well, what does that mean? That's what we're going to talk about. "Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Born again. What does that mean? Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you are here to speak to us today. We thank you, Lord, that you have sent out your Holy Spirit in might and power. And I am thankful that the Word of God never goes out void, but performs that for which it was sent, and that you watch over your word to perform it. Lord, I'm not anything. I'm just a messenger through which you are speaking, but it is the word of God, and because it's the word of God, it will go out in life-changing power. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, if only I could know for certain, with certainty, that I had passed from death unto life. How many people have I talked to that I can't even begin to count that would say, Glenn, I wish I knew, I really wish I knew I was saved. I really wish I knew I was born again, but I'm not sure I have a relationship with Jesus. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure that I have escaped to the judgment of hell. I'm not sure that I've escaped the judgment of eternity. I want to know for sure. How do you know? Because I've made so many mistakes and I've made so many wrong turns and it gets kind of confusing and I'm not sure God loves me. I think maybe he loves you. I think maybe he loves other people in the church. I'm just not sure he loves me. Because I've messed up so bad. And how can I know? How can I know that God loves me? One of the things we've really got to learn is not to live by feelings. Your experience with Jesus is a life of faith. Now, feelings are good things. Amen? And I'm an emotional person. I get emotional about my relationship with Jesus. I get emotional at church. And by the way, I don't have a problem with being emotional at church. Amen? Amen. We get emotional about everything in life, right? We go to ball games and we get emotional. We go to parties and we get emotional. We go to movies and we get emotional. We do everything in life, we are moved by them. And we get emotional. Well, you don't have to leave your emotions at the door when you come to church. You can come in here and you can be excited. You can come in here and you can shout. You can come in here and you can sing. You can come in here and weep. Our emotions are a part of the experience. However, my relationship with God is not based on how I feel. The sun is going to be in the sky tomorrow whether you feel good or not. You can't get up in the morning and say, well, the sun's not going to rise today. Why? Because I feel bad. I just don't feel like it's going to be there. It's going to be there. It's a constant. It's a static. It has nothing to do with you, how you feel, how you act, what you do. The love of God is going to be there tomorrow no matter what you do. The love of God is like the sun in the sky. It will be there no matter how you feel, what you've done, where you've been, what you said, what you thought. The love of God will be there. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. You think you used up all of God's mercy yesterday? Man, I was bad yesterday. I lost my temper. I said a bunch of things I shouldn't have said. I went somewhere I shouldn't have gone. I did something I shouldn't have done. I used it all up. Well, guess what? They start all over today. They're new every morning. You can't use them up. You cannot use up the mercy of God. So I have to learn that in my heart and in my mind that God loves me no matter what. If you could ever just get that, the love of God's not moving around and changing based on how you feel or how you look or what you've done. He just loves you. It's just done. And if you could ever learn that lesson, and that's faith. That's just, you know what? And I'll tell you something about me. And I'm just like the rest of you. I'm just a person trying to live life, doing the best that I can. But I'll tell you something I know. I know God loves me. And I know I'm his child. And I know nothing can ever change that. That is a settled, done deal. Amen? So to start, rather than living by feelings or by sight or what you see or what's happening around you, just learn to live by God's word, to trust in God's word. That is the cause before the effect. And often emotions and feelings and those kind of things will follow. And that's good, but understand that my foundation is based on the Word of God. God's word says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Done. Done. Hallelujah. Now, let's talk about that word regeneration. What is regeneration? Because that's really what we're talking about. It comes from a Greek word, palingenesia. And this word is simple. We break it down to the word palin, which means again, and genesia, from which we get the word Genesis, is birth. Birthed again. Birthed again. Or born again. That's where it comes from. It comes from that word. And we talk about all the time, you must be born again. We're going to talk about Nicodemus in a minute because Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You've got to change your thinking. That's really what he was saying to Nicodemus. But here the word is a little different than what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about. This is talking about a spiritual effect that takes place in your life the moment you, by faith, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Something happens to you. Something happens to you that God does way down deep inside of your heart. Let's talk about that. What does God do? All of us have heard, you must be born again. You must be born again. And that's true. This guy goes to heaven, and he comes up to the gates, and St. Peter's standing there, and he says, what must I do to come in? I want to get into heaven. And Peter says, well, you've got to have done things in your life that add up to 100 points. And if you've done enough things in your life, and it can add up good things in your life, and it can add up to 100 points, I'll let you in. Just name me some things. The guy says, let me think a minute. And he says, well, okay, I was married to my wife 40 years. I was never unfaithful to her. We had, wasn't perfect marriage. It was a good marriage, 40 years. Now I was faithful and loyal. And Peter says, okay, I'll give you 3 points for that. And the guy goes, 3 points? So Peter says, anything else? He goes, well, let me think. He says, okay, I was faithful to church. I was always in church. I tried to be there every Sunday. I wasn't there all the time, but I did the best I could. Peter says, okay, I'll give you a point for that. A point? He says, anything else? He says, well, I gave to the church. I gave some money. How about that? And Peter says, okay, 2 more points. 2 points? He says, anything else? He goes, well, we opened a soup kitchen. We fed hungry people. Peter says, that's really good. I'll give you 4 points for that. 4 points? And the guy goes, man, at this rate, the only way I'll get in this place is by the grace of God. Peter said, come on in. And that's why you have to be born again, because there's no other way. Because as you are, and I love you, I love you, I love all of you just right where you are, I just love people. I do, I love everybody. And I can love you right where you are. God loves you right where you are. But right where you are will not allow entrance into the kingdom of heaven. What we are in ourselves is not good enough. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you where you are. He does. But he desires to do something in you. And what he requires from you is an act of faith. You see, we fall into this trap of thinking salvation is a change in my old nature. I change how I look. I change what I wear. I change what I eat. I change habits. I start making changes. And if I'm good enough, I can go to heaven. You know, if I make the right changes and I start doing all the right things, and that's what a lot of people think salvation is. Are you good? Have you been good? You're doing good things? That if I serve God, my old nature gradually change, and then I finally become good. But that's not what salvation is, because what that does is it denies what God has already said about you. The Bible says about you, there is none good, no, not one. Amen? That's what the word... So you know what God is saying? Your old nature, that part of you that you think you can change, that part of you that you think you can make good, God says it's ruined. It's ruined. It's no good. You ever had an old appliance at your house or something that you kept repairing and you kept fixing and, it was, you know, let's just say refrigerator, and it just kept, and you kept patching on it and you kept doing it, you know, and finally you got frustrated and you just said, you know what, it's just time to get a new one. Amen? It's just, I'm so sick of this thing breaking down. It's just time to get a new one. That, and so you went and got a new one. How many of you like new? Amen? I like new. Now, so does God. And the Bible says He makes all things new. You know what God did? He looked at you and said, you're an old refrigerator. And we have patched and we have patched and we have patched and we can't fix you. You are broken and messed up. You don't work anymore. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you a new refrigerator. I'm going to make you brand new. We're going to start all over. Hallelujah. That's why He uses the phrase born again. Born again. Because God says, I can't work with the old nature. God's not going to put a patch on an old garment. God, if you just patch me up, if you just patch me up. There is a neat story in the book, I think it's in Leviticus chapter 12, if I remember right. And it's about when the lepers would come to the priest. I love this. The lepers would come to the priest. Now remember, in the Old Testament, the lepers had to stay out of the city, out of the camp, out of the town, out of the village, because they had leprosy and they had a contagious disease and nobody wanted them around. And they had to announce that they were lepers everywhere they went so people would keep their distance from them. But if the leprosy began to cure in their life and began to heal up, they obviously wanted to come back home. They wanted to come back to their village, to their town, to their families. And the Bible made provision for them to come to the priest and to submit themselves for examination to see if they were being healed up. And the priest would examine them and see. But here's what the Bible says in Leviticus 12. If the priest found any clean flesh on their body, he would deny them entrance. In other words, they could come to the priest and say, you know what? I think I'm healing up. Most of my body, I don't have a lot of sores on it or bad places. You know, I think overall I'm pretty good. I got just a few bad places, but I'd like to come back in. The priest says, no, not until the leprosy has covered your whole body. Because that's the way leprosy works. It has to cover everything. And once it's run its course, then you know that it's run its course through your body and you're being healed up from it. There's a powerful lesson in that. As long as we come to God saying, you know, I don't need a lot. I just need a patch here and there. I'm really not so bad. I'm a pretty neat guy. I'm a pretty neat gal. I'm all right. You know, I can be a blessing to the kingdom of God. And you still think some part of you is good. God says, I can't use you yet. It's not until you come to God and say, God, sin has run through my whole body. I'm not anything. I'm nothing. I'm ruined. I'm broken. I am bankrupt. I am down to my last cent. I am nothing. I'm in need of a Savior. I'm in need of a Redeemer. I'm in need of a great God who can come down and transform me into something awesome. That's when God says, now you got it. I've had people come to me and say, they'd plop down in my office so exasperated. They'd find a chair and just, can I come in and talk to you? And they come in and they just sit down. And you can tell they're wore out. And you know what they'd say? I can't do this, Pastor. You can't do what? I can't live for God. I can't do the church thing. I just can't do it. I'm not capable of doing it. I can't. I give up. And I would look at them and say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And they'd be like, what? What do you mean? I just told you I can't do it. And I'm like, you are 90% there. You are so close to the truth. The truth is you can't do it. You never could do it. He did it for you. That's what the cross was all about. Hallelujah. He paid that bill for you that you couldn't pay. I got a bill here I can't pay. We've all been there. It's a bad feeling. But He said, I paid that for you. And it's been paid in full. I tell people all the time, go to Office Depot, get you one of them stamps, and tell them, get one of them paid in full stamps, and buy a red ink pad, and go through every page of the Old Testament and stamp paid in full on it. Paid in full. Paid in full. Every page of Leviticus. Every page of Exodus. Every page of Deuteronomy. Every page of Judges. Every page of Joshua. Every page of Ruth. Go through every page paid in full. He paid it all. It's a done deal. Galatians 5:24 says how, tells you how this happens. How does that happen? It says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You have to die. Uh-oh. You just have to die. And the Bible says, when we are crucified, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the faith that I and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God that is in me. We crucify the flesh. God counts the flesh as dead when the flesh is crucified. How do I crucify myself? You can't. You can't. Here's why you're losing this battle. You have sat in church. How many times have you sat in church and said, man, that was a good sermon today. I'm going to do better. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to do better. And you walked out of here going, I'm determined to, I'm going to finally do it. I'm going to finally live for Jesus. I'm so fired up because church got you fired up. Church gets us fired up. And we get emotional, we get stirred up, and we're determined. And we walk out of here, and by sometime Sunday afternoon or early Monday, we fall flat on our face. Because you cannot do it. You cannot crucify yourself. What you have to understand is you went with Jesus to the cross. He went to the cross for you. He went to the cross as your representative. And when he died, you died. That's what Romans tells us. God expects nothing of the flesh. He just wants to put it out of sight and crucify it. So regeneration is a new birth imparting new life. Because the Bible says not only were you crucified with him, if you were crucified with him, he took you to the cross, which he did. When he rose from the dead, you rose with him. Amen? We're going to celebrate Easter next Sunday, and that's really what it means. His life, you have life. Amen? You have life, a new life. I am come that you might have life and that you have it more abundantly. Those of you that have been listening to me a long time, you know that I have this thing I like to say. And I, you know, because we're always telling, I'm going to give God my life. I'm going to give God my life. And I tell people all the time, God don't want your life. Your life's a mess. Your life's a wreck. He wants to give you his life. He wants to give you abundant life. He wants to give you overcoming life. He wants to give you overcoming power. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you the blessings of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. So now that you're born again, you got this new nature. You got this new spirit. The spirit inside of you, the Bible says, is dead. But when you're born again, boom, it comes to life. Your body, soul, and spirit. And suddenly your spirit man is alive. And you got this something new inside of you that is hungry for the things of God and wants the things of God and wants to go to church and wants to worship. You've got this, Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So you've got this willing part of you, but you also have this battle. So let's talk about how it happens. How I get that new spirit. How does it happen? Well, a man by the name of Nicodemus came to Jesus. He was a leader in Israel, big religious leader, righteous man, religious man, you know, all wrapped up in his robes. We talk about God. We love God. He was that kind of guy. So he comes to Jesus and he's like, I know that you are a rabbi sent from heaven and that your teachings have moved the masses. What must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said, oh, Nicodemus, I love Jesus. Jesus said, Nicodemus, I tell you, pal, you're going to have to be born again. Nicodemus, the wheels start turning. He says, born again? Well, How can a man re-enter his mother's womb? How could I ever be born again? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, I'm not talking about flesh. I'm talking about spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, that which is flesh is flesh, but that which is spirit. And he started talking about the wind or the pneuma. And he was teaching a powerful lesson. You know what he was telling Nicodemus? Nicodemus, if you could literally be born again with your mom, if you could figure out a way to do that and be born again, it still wouldn't be right. You'd still be flesh. And I don't care if you could figure out a way to be born again 10 different times, you would never get it right, because that which is flesh is flesh. But that which is spirit is spirit. One time with God and it's right. When the Spirit of God breathes on you. God said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And he said, Lord, you know whether they can live or not. And he said, prophesy to them. Speak the word of God. And Ezekiel began to preach, and he began to speak the word of God, and the bones started coming together, and they formed skeletons in that valley, and skin came on them, and sinews, and flesh, and muscle. And Ezekiel looked down, and after preaching the word of God, he had an army laying on the floor, and their bodies had formed out of dry bones. But there was still no life. And then God said, Ezekiel, speak to the four winds of the heavens. Speak to the pneuma. Speak to the spirit. And the Bible says the wind filled that valley. The Spirit of God, the breath of God, the life of God filled that valley. And those men stood on their feet as a mighty army. Oh, church, don't you see? It's the Spirit of God that gives you life. And that's why Jesus said, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives within you, because the breath of God, the pneuma, the wind of God comes into you. And suddenly now you have spiritual life. That's what happens. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean everything's taken care of. But it does mean that your spirit man has been born again. And you have new life. New life. Hallelujah. He brought Nicodemus down to where all the stuff that Nicodemus, all his religion and all his stuff, Jesus just stripped it away from him. He didn't have anything left. And that was his whole point. Sometimes we get so religious. We are our traditions. I've been praying lately. And I appreciate what Scott said a moment ago, because there is a new anointing. There is a fresh move of God that is trying to birth itself and happen. And I'm excited about it. And I want you to be excited about it. One of the things I know God is trying to do, that the Lord is trying to do, is, and I've been praying, God, we're still bound by tradition. We still do things because that's just how it's always been done. And I've been like, God, break us free. Break us free from habits and tradition. Just set us free. Lord, set us free. I want our church to be free. I want every chain broken. I want them broken in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Does that song say he's a chain breaker? He is a chain breaker. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. That's the key. So I'm going to close with this last one. What are the results? What happens? Well, the first thing that happens is you get new life. We talked about that briefly. I am come that you might have life, abundant life. He gives you his life, the life of God. The Bible says the entire Godhead dwells within you bodily. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how that happens. I just know it does. Remember, this is by faith. Now I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a child of God. Say this with me. I am a child of God. You're a child of God. He adopted you. He brought you into his house. He gave you his name. You belong to him now. He's marked you. Hallelujah. A child of God. And the Bible says, if I'm a son, then I'm an heir. Amen? Amen. If I'm a son, then I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ. Joint heir means heir to all that he is heir to. Wow. How did that happen? How can I be heir to everything that Jesus has inherited? Because we are his brothers and sisters. The Bible says that Jesus said, "You are my brother." That word means out of the same womb. You came out, you were born of the Word of God. You were born of the same thing, born of the Spirit. And the other thing that he gives you is peace. And I don't know how many Christians I've met, and I know they're truly Christians because they believe in the cross and they believe in the Lord. They believe all the right things. I know they're born again, but they don't know it. And they don't have peace. You see, he not only came to give you life, he came to give you peace. He came to settle the question. And it ought to be settled in your heart, and it ought to be settled in your mind. And tonight, maybe for the first time ever, you ought to be able to lay down and go to sleep and have peace in your heart. Now, I'm not saying you don't have other stuff in your life. You know, lots of stuff going on. But this thing, my relationship with God, is a settled deal. Amen? Let me show you how this works, and I'm going to close. If we had a dead body laying up here, and we put a 100-pound weight on him, just laid 100 pounds on his chest, that's pretty heavy, he wouldn't know a thing about it. If we call the weight sin, right, he's dead. Just laid 100 pounds on his chest. He ain't aware of it. He has no clue. He has 100 pounds of sin on his chest. He doesn't know anything about it. Okay. Then we give him life. We send life into that body. All of a sudden he wakes up. I'm going to tell you right now one of the first things he's going to say. Can somebody get this 100 pounds off me? Can somebody get this heavy weight off of me? Here's what a lot of people do not understand about their Christian life. And this is what they don't get. Everybody thinks the moment they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything's perfect. There's angels are singing and flowers are flying and we're all dancing through the garden and there's never another problem. That is not how it works, folks. The moment you're born again, the moment that life comes into you, guess what? You're going to feel a heavy weight. And it's called sin. And you never felt it before because you were dead. And this is what people do not understand. They're like, why do I feel so bad? Why do I? Because you were not aware of what you've been carrying. Amen? But the moment you're born again, you have this awareness. Paul wrestles with this in Romans chapter 7 when he says, you know what? All the good things that I ought to be doing, I'm not doing that. And he said, all the bad things I shouldn't be doing, that's what I'm doing. And he cries out, oh, wretched man that I am. Amen? People like to point to Romans 7 and say, well, that's before Paul got saved. That's before born-again experience. That's pre-salvation. And, of course, he felt bad. But after he got saved, Paul never felt that way. No. Romans chapter 7 is post-salvation. It's after he got saved. And I'll tell you why I know that. Because before Paul got saved, he thought he was perfect. But it was after he got saved, he realized, I'm wretched. Church, see this. It was after I got saved that I realized I'm nothing. Because that's what happens. Because suddenly I come in contact with the Spirit of God and I realize I'm not perfect. And that's when God starts working in your life. That's when he starts, after the revelation of failure, he starts saying, well, we're going to clean all that up. And we're going to take a few pounds off at a time. Amen? Yeah. And he starts pulling that. And you notice after you walk with God for a while, you're not carrying such a heavy load. Because he starts cleaning you up and he starts working with you. My righteousness is his righteousness. I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. But I wear his righteousness, not mine, because I have none of my own. God is the judge, and I'm the sinner. But the blood of Jesus is between us. The blood of Jesus is between us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand together.